fall, join us at Wind River Resort and Casino for our exciting $60,000 Wicked Winning Swipe to Win draw. Weekly drawings every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. through October 30th. Offering you the chance to win up to $250 in free slot play. And don't forget about our final drawing October 30th, where you could win up to $2,500 in cash prizes. For all details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic. Wrapped in a beautiful Habano Rosado leaf, these cigars are jam-packed with lush, hearty Nicaraguan tobacco, rich, robust, and yet complex and balanced. Notes of cedar, smoked cashews, black pepper, and cocoa. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. You're going to really enjoy this. I know I'm going to enjoy it. Tina Deskovich is going to join me here on the podcast. And Moms for Liberty, this is really good. You're going to really enjoy this because, you know what? This is somebody who decided to get involved, get engaged, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I have met her before, but I've never heard her full story. I think what you're going to find is that this is a story where you have a parent who loves her kids, and they love their family, and they decide, you know what? I want to understand what's going on with my kids and my education. And that blossoms into something that is now a nationwide organization that really does impact how we do education for our kids. And this is one of the seminal questions for our future. You know, the world changes. I think of all the changes that have gone on in my life. Now, I'm in my mid-50s, all right, a little bit later in my mid-50s. And so, you know, I look at this younger generation and how they grew up. And I'm sure my parents looked at me and, you know, it's every generation goes through this. Okay, but now that our kids, my wife and I, we have three kids. All of our kids are married. They all graduated from college and I'm very proud of them. And that was in large part because Julie was so involved and engaged and I was quite busy. And but it worked for us. Everybody's got their own formula. Some formulas don't always work out. I understand all that. But very proud of what happened. But I look at the pressures that will be, and now we have six grandkids. I can't believe it. The oldest is like seven. And so I look at how they're growing up, and I think, oh my goodness, the pressure and the social media and the instant gratification and the phones and the world is so different. And now you have artificial intelligence and you have deep fakes and you have all of these things and pressures and the velocity at which things come at kids really does change the equation. And so inevitably, we have to think through how we educate our kids, right? And even if you don't have kids, maybe your kids have all grown up and you think, that's really not for me, Jason. No, we need it. It affects society, affects our future, it affects our workforce, it affects our economy, it affects all of these things. So what I want to talk to Tina about is her story and her journey, and I'm hoping that that kind of sparks a thought or a perspective from wherever you are in the country or the world. You know, a lot of people, Texas, from around the world, wherever you're at, to think through, all right, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with our kids, right? Our most precious asset, our future, is literally in their hands, and we better darn well think through how we're going to do it, what we're going to do. And that's why I'm excited to have Tina, because they built an organization that really does take a more conservative viewpoint in making sure that there's the proper balance. Because there are evil ones, if you will, that really go after our kids and have some very interesting ways of approaching how we do this, and we just have to be vigilant. At the end of the day, we've got to be vigilant. If you care about your kids, and I'm sure you do, then you got to make sure you understand what's going on in the classroom. And this organization really helps do that, because you have things like teachers unions. Their number one goal is to protect teachers and implement their social agenda. It's not about how do we best get, you know, the reading rates and scores up. It's just not. And so that's what we're going to talk about with Tina. Want to talk about the news, and then we're going to bring on the stupid, because, you know, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. We got a couple good ones for you today. Really quickly in the news, I want to talk about MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. I'm telling you, I didn't know how it was going to go with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but I could not be more excited about the direction they're taking this country. They're challenging the status quo. They're coming in. They're looking at things. They're asking hard questions. They do everything from vaccines to food labeling. I'm glad they're taking a good, fresh look at it. And I hear someone on the other side of the aisle that say, oh, come on, that's wrong. How dare you? You're trying to get rid of vaccines. No. You're talking about the safety, the efficacy, challenging the status quo. Why did the sheer number of vaccines rise so rapidly? How do we do the testing? What is the liability if something goes wrong? All of these questions are valid questions. And I can tell you, in my own life, I've lost about 30 pounds, and it took about 2 years. But I felt like the government lied to me my whole life. You know, that food pyramid, and I can't remember what the number was, you know, 11 bowls of grains and cereals. I used to go to bed at night, and I've said this before, I'd have 2 bowls of cereal. And it was life cereal. I was adding life. Ends up it probably wasn't good for my life. But I was just down on a whole bunch of sugar right before I went to bed. And then I, you know, hey, I got a little dad bod going on. I got a little doughy down there. And I thought, no, wait, anyway, with a lot of encouragement from my wife and a lot of help, you know, I used to come home when I was in grade school and I would make a mayonnaise sandwich. I get 2 pieces of bread, slap some mayonnaise on it, and eat it. And I thought, yeah, that's good. Bread's good for you. I would sit around and I'd just eat several pieces of bread. I love toast. Ends up that maybe all that bread wasn't so good for me, which is a shame because I love pancakes. I love waffles. If I didn't have a pancake, I'd have a waffle. I could make a waffle. My mom and dad went around, I'd pop the waffle, those Eggos in the toaster, smother it with syrup. But I was doing that in my 40s and 50s, so it wasn't like I was just doing that when I was 10. And I go to McDonald's, I'd eat 2 Big Macs because I like them. And now I'm much more cognizant of food portions, and I'm much more cognizant of, I like the bread, but I can't eat so much bread. Everything in moderation, right? It's what my church teaches. It's what I think the right balance is. And so if we combine it with some exercise, at least it worked for me. Talk to your doctor. I'm not trying to prescribe anything. I slowly started shedding some pounds where I'm down. Talked to my doctor, and he said, when's the last time you weighed that? And I said, like, the beginning of college? It's really worked, and I just love weight. The Making America Healthy Again has moved us in the right direction. That's all. I think this goes hand in glove with what Tina's going to talk about with your education. You got to educate yourself, too, in educating yourself on what you put in your body. All right, that sounds a little preachy, but I'm just saying that has really helped me. All right, time to bring on the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right. This one comes from AP, the Associated Press News. California police pull over a self-driving Waymo for an illegal U-turn. But when they pull it over, there is no driver. There is no way to give a ticket. Who do you give a ticket to on a Waymo? A Waymo, for those of you that aren't as familiar, is a driverless car. So you can hail it like a cab through an app. And you can get in this car, and it's supposed to take you from point A to point B. But I guess if it does something illegal on the street, like pull a U-turn, the police tried to pull it over to no avail. Because, hey, what are you going to do? If there is no driver, and so yikes. Anyway, that happened.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
We've got trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A postman from Australia makes the Dean's List, whose kindness did not go unnoticed. Gurpreet Singh was making his usual rounds when he was caught in a sudden downpour. Gurpreet noticed some sheets hanging outside on a clothesline while he was delivering a package to a home and decided to take them down and place them under a cover to shield them from the heavy rain. The woman who owns the home saw Gurpreet on her security camera and couldn't believe her eyes. She was prepared to come home from work and see her soaking wet sheets, but instead saw that they were dry and covered thanks to their mailman. She posted about the good deed with the video, and the message was shared thousands of times. A local morning show interviewed Gurpreet after his story was shared all over the world. He says it took just 60 seconds to take care of the woman's laundry, and he would do it again in a heartbeat. He doesn't understand why so many were touched by the gesture, but knew he would have wanted someone to do the same for his family. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
It's Astrobot's birthday. The character behind last year's Game of the Year is celebrating everything PlayStation. We spoke to Nicolas Doucet, the founder of Team Asobi, who made the cute robot, about the birthday.
Playful, just charming, kind of fun stuff. And if you were a PlayStation fan for many years, then you would enjoy it as well.
We also made sure to chat about haptics, something they use to bring this game to life.
So you can feel like metal, water, you know, like sand, or a little like, you know, pity-patty of the rain. fine.
Haptic responses are in modern controllers and your mobile devices. It's that little vibration that confirms that you hit a number on the touchscreen. Gaming uses it to bring you into their worlds.
Haptic feedback is based on sound waves. So what you feel inside your hands are sounds that you cannot hear, but the vibration of these sounds and the frequency actually gives a different kind of expression.
Listen to this week's Fox on Games podcast to hear the full interview with Doucet wherever you download podcasts. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
All right, it's time to bring on Tina, and we're going to have a good conversation here. And let's get her on the line, and let's talk about Moms for Liberty.
Tina, thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. I do appreciate it.
It is a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, no, I'm thrilled. I've been a big fan from the sidelines here for a while. And so I was excited to have you on because I really do want to understand how it all came together, how it all happened, what you're doing, because who in the world could be against Moms for Liberty? I mean, there's no way you could be against that.
And yet it turns out people are.
Well, tell me about that. Let's go back here because, I mean, I've met you. I spent a little bit of time with you, but let's go back in the Wayback Machine and talk about how this all came about, because you're the co-founder, right? So what was going on in your life when you decided, you know what, we got to step this up and do a little bit more than we've been doing?
Yeah, there's a few things that were happening. It was late in 2020. I lost my school board election. So I served on a school board here in Florida for 4 years. I'm in a very red county, 60% red. I don't know at that point if there were any Democrats serving in any category in our county at all. And I lost my reelection in 2020. In August, to a radical liberal. The state teachers union and the state Democrat party targeted two races, school board races in the state, and mine was one of them. And so they were busing people in to knock doors and do all these things. The Republican party refused to get involved, mostly out of just complacency. I mean, we're a 60% red county.
Right.
So it really wasn't ever anything. And then also, honestly, between you and I, and I guess all the people that are listening, at that point, getting Republicans and conservatives engaged in education other than school choice was almost impossible. I mean, I was waving red flags. I was sending out messages that the years that I served, please, conservatives, come review textbooks. Please, Republicans, be part of these committees. They just weren't interested. And it was constantly so frustrating. And so after I lost my reelection, you know, what am I going to do with all this knowledge I've gained the last 4 years, this passion I have now for education and all the things I've seen going wrong and, you know, just trying to get competent people to sit on school boards and run against union-backed folks. And so that's where Moms for Liberty was dreamed up.
So what was it you were seeing? What was going on in those schools? Because I think you're right. I think if parents aren't paying attention, I remember in Utah, we had to deal with a few things when our kids were going through school. They wanted to go to the new math, and then they couldn't, you know, weren't teaching kids to think in their head how 5 + 3 = 8. And, you know, that was a problem. And then they wanted No Child Left Behind, which, you know, we had to fight against, and I did when I was in Congress. I mean, but the education side of the equation, you're right. If you have like a super majority of conservatives in an area, everybody says, it's okay. Until, you know, the world, let me put it this way. The world is run by the people who show up. And so if all of a sudden there's a void, that's where this opportunity to step in, even if you're not on the side of goodness and truth and everything else. So what was it you were seeing? Like, drill down a little bit and help us understand what were your kids going through and other kids in the schools. What were you seeing?
So I started seeing signs probably 10 years prior when my oldest was in middle school in his civics class, civics or American history, seventh grade, I think. Anyway, he brought home an assignment that had 100% plus extra credit. Teacher said, great work. It's a special project. Of course, I'm like, good job, son. Great work. I'm so proud of you. And I'm proud to be a mom that has a kid who does so well in civics. And so it was a special project. I opened it and it said, wanted, Christopher Columbus for crimes against humanity. And that was the first I thought, what? You know, you're kind of like, well, It didn't. I couldn't figure it out. It didn't quite, you know, I went on the search of every book I could find on Christopher Columbus, reading everything I could. Did I learn things wrong? What is this whole new approach to what's going on in American history? And then if you looked at his project even more, there's a bounty on his head by Queen Elizabeth. It wasn't even in the right country that he came from. Like, it was factually wrong and completely biased. And I was like, whoa. And so that was, we can talk for 2 hours about other assignments and other things. And then when I was on the school board, assignments parents were bringing, and it all started forming a picture. And so in 2020, I think all of America started seeing more of this, and they started trying to go to school board meetings, and they were getting shut down. And in my little brain, I thought, now is the time to capture people and point them to the education system and start just showing them everything, Tina, that you have learned. And my two other co-founders at the time, both school board members, also, like, they were experiencing the same thing. And so we were excited to try to get people engaged and interested in education again.
And I would assume most people, when they saw this, they were a little shock and awe, like, wait, what? Is that what happened? I mean, this is prior to COVID.
Yeah, this is during COVID. I mean, this was the fall of 2020. We didn't launch till January 1st, 2021 officially, but we really started forming in December of 2020. And I'll tell you what happened. I mean, we were on national news everywhere. CNN came to our office here and interviewed us, and why are you saying there's critical race theory in classrooms? Well, because there is. No, there's not. It's a college class. Ladies, it's not there. Show us examples. Here's an example. Here's one in Charlotte, North Carolina. Here's her showing it to her school board at a school board meeting. Well, she's lying. She's just making that up. And so it was insane from day one. We're showing what's going on in education, and half of America is, I guess, gaslighting us would be the best term.
Now, you obviously have shown a prowess that's far greater than they had anticipated, because look, the teachers' union's pretty powerful. They're used to going out and just thumping people and using their big financial coffers to be able to do so. When did you first get on their radar, and how did they treat you?
So I'll say locally, I was on their radar from the get-go. They actually didn't endorse in my initial school board race because they liked me so much. I was actually led a little bit of a movement here in my community to help parents opt out of testing and some things, and teachers aligned with that. So they thought, oh, she's not so bad. But as soon as I got on the school board and started voting on things, they realized they couldn't control my vote, they lost favor. You know, I lost their favor really quick. And then I didn't support being manipulated into an astronomical raise one year that we just couldn't afford. And that's when they really started coming for me hard. And that's when the state teachers union started coming for me in my election. And then when Moms for Liberty was launched, we went straight for the unions right away. Three school board members, we knew exactly where the problem was. And then the summer of 21, we looked at the NEA's summer agenda. Here we are. Schools have now been closed for a year. We see kids are losing the ability to do math and read. The scores were already abysmal. And then the teachers union, the NEA, that summer comes out, and there's nothing about that. There's nothing about opening schools. There's nothing about building, like, fixing the gap that kids have lost a year of schooling. There's nothing about special needs kids or, you know, urban children that really have been suffering. All of their items were like abortion, Israel. It was the craziest thing. And so we really put our target on them then. And obviously they reciprocated.
Well, I mean, it seems like this from the surface, and it's just always a mystery, like, why isn't, like, education of the kids, like, priority one? Now that you've been through this battle with the teachers union, what is their priority? Because you're right, if the test scores aren't going up, if kids aren't doing better, like, they seem almost oblivious to it.
If you think about why teachers' unions were created, they weren't created to support children. They weren't created to improve education. They were created to improve working conditions for teachers. And so the premise of their entire existence doesn't have anything to do with children. And if you look at it now, just the NEA has a $500 million budget. The AFT has a $250 million budget. And then all of the 13,000 local teachers unions and their budgets. And so, and then the state teachers unions budgets, they do not want to let go of power at this point. It is about power and control of public education and saving public education as an entity so they can keep their power. Nothing to do with actual education or children.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
We'll be right back. there. It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm-fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
fast forward to today's modern PTA. How are things organized? What can moms do and dads to be, you know, better engaged with their kids' education?
Yeah, they need to join or start a Moms for Liberty chapter. And, yeah, you know, obviously that's what I'm going to say, but I'll back this up with a few things. One, the PTA is corrupted. Their agendas are the teachers' union agendas. They are a national organization that wants power. And when you look at the things they've been pushing with critical race theory, social emotional learning, gender ideology, and they represent the parents' voice in a lot of these conversations at the table, you do not want your dues going to that organization. Now, locally, often there are PTOs, and we could have a whole episode about the difference and why you should join a PTO and not a PTA. But that's a parent-teacher organization.
Well, give me a minute on that one.
A PTO is a locally, it's kind of like the difference between maybe a bank and a credit union. Like they're local control, locally owned. Parents have buy-in locally. The PTA is a national organization that's been corrupted. And so you can always do that. But a lot of times the PTOs are raising funds, for, you know, doing bake sales, raising funds, volunteering in classrooms. Great. Moms for Liberty does a lot of that too. But they don't really get involved in policy. And that was when I was on the school board, that's what I was missing. Parents that cared about the policy that was happening at the school district level, parents that were concerned about the policy that was implemented and obviously affecting and impacting what was going on in schools, and that wanted to change it for the better and be involved in curriculum decisions and all the decisions that are made at the district level.
So, you know, a lot of parents, look, they want, I think their heart's in the right place. They're busy. You know, they got work, they got after school curricular activities, and, you know, like last thing parents says, they're not pushing it off saying, oh, that's somebody else's job. It's they care about their kids. But what is it that they can do? What should they be doing? Just your average person at home who's like, yeah, I care about my kids or my grandkids. Because I think there's a lot of people who's maybe their kids grew up, but now they got, you know, grandkids. My wife and I, we got 6 grandkids. So what is it that they should be doing? And what is it that Moms for Liberty is doing to make these differences in this fight?
Yeah, so at the most basic level, you should be checking the backpacks. And that big old nasty folder that's in there full of all kinds of papers, you should be looking at each one of them. Those are assignments that your kids have read and looked at and are doing. Often, you know, it's just stacks of papers. We toss them. I'm a mom. I know how this goes. You kind of flip through them.
Right.
You really need to look at them at the most basic level. But honestly, a little bit of a lecture here. If you are an American citizen, people have sacrificed their lives for you to be an American citizen so that you can be free and your children can go to school and learn. You have to be involved civically. You must know who your school board members are. You must take the time to at least figure out who they are, what they stand for, and what they're voting on. And being part of a Moms for Liberty chapter will allow you to do that in a way that you don't have to do it all yourself. And so we go to every school board meeting where we have a chapter. And school board meetings are once or twice a month. One person can't really do that if you're a mom and your kids are in sports and you work and you have all these things. But if you have a group of 20 people doing that and you divide it up and there's 2 a month, like you only have to go once a year. That's your civic duty. Look how great that is. They can send you an email and report back. And you can know what's happening, and you can take a minute to send an email about a concerning policy that's coming up. And you can take a few minutes to read up or maybe go to a monthly chapter meeting and learn about your school board candidates. I know that I sound like I'm just lecturing, but I'm so passionate about this. It's so important. Only a third of American fourth graders can read on grade level. Only 20% of seniors could pass a civics test. Like, we are in a crisis in education in America, and I will keep screaming this and yelling it and beating this drum till my last breath.
Well, good for you. Where did that passion come from? Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Florida?
Been all over. kind of a hectic childhood, I would say. But I settled in Florida somewhat in middle school. I live on the Space Coast, and my first super patriotic memory was standing in the parking lot when the space shuttle went up. After Challenger had exploded. So it was like a year or two. And so they made a fire alarm so all the kids could go outside and watch it. And we all went out in the parking lot. And I saw that shuttle go up, and I just started crying. And I think they maybe caught a picture of it for the yearbook or something. But there's a picture out there of me like, you know, what middle school kid? Who does that? And so they're like, why are you crying? I don't know. I was so overwhelmed with, wow, look what we're doing as a country. And it really sparked something in me back then. You know, then there's a whole journey of being a bad teenager and making bad choices and all the things, but somehow that's come full circle. And I have a deep sense of love for this country, deep, deep sense of love for the founders of this country, things that have been sacrificed. I know how important education is. I was almost a high school dropout, ended up going to college, made it through by the skin of my teeth, to be honest. And it's changed my life from my family's life. My mother was a high school dropout, was the first person to graduate high school, let alone college. And it's changed my life and what I've been able to do. And so those things have collided, and I'm able to do this now as a grown adult. And it's such an honor and a pleasure.
Wow. You know, that's quite a journey. But that inner patriotism that does seep its way out, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to pass the generations. I think that's probably a credit to your family, and maybe there were mentors and others along the way. But love of country, you know, in the wake of unfortunately what happened with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I think that whole premise, the whole idea of family and faith and love of country, there's a whole new wave of a younger generation who's capturing that and understanding it's okay to love these things and believe in these things and talk about these things and not shy away. Because I think every kid, you know, every person wants to be one of the cool kids, right? They just want to be accepted. They don't want to be ostracized. And when people started seeing, hey, there are other people that believe in these same things, it gives them strength. There's strength in numbers that way. How would you look at that?
It's so important. The latest polls show 41% of Gen Z are proud to be an American. That isn't even half. We won't exist as a country if only 40% of our kids are proud to be an American, and only 22% right. understand our government process, and only 2 in 5 high school seniors can give basic American history facts. Again, I know I've already said it, but we're in a crisis. And so Charlie's assassination is devastating. I mean, I've shed many, many tears, and our whole organization has been kind of flipped on its head with this. We're not TPUSA, but we're doing the same work. We work in the same areas. And so it's been a real challenge for us to self-evaluate and reevaluate, but then to see what's happening with this fury across America with kids getting excited, being brave and courageous, and being willing to stand up and be patriotic and support their country, and the work Charlie was doing and the work we're doing, to be honest, it gives me a lot of hope.
Good. Let me ask you, Tina, how do you deal with, you know, generations grow up differently? This latest generation is like technology is omnipresent. The immediacy of their access in their hands to a phone and technology and be able to see literally anything and everything. How's that changing education? I think I know intuitively, but how do you see it? What are the right policies and things that schools should be doing with in dealing with technology? Because at least from my vantage point, technology could be good if it works and if you're using it in the right way, but it can also be an evil, evil tool.
Yeah, I think you have described it well. We're in an interesting time, I think, in education where we could use this technology for good. What needs to happen to do that? There's so much going on right now, and I think this is probably a good time to plug our national summit in Orlando, October 16th through the 19th, because we are going to have a lot of things there besides the big headlining flashy speakers that people want to come see. Some of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing an hour-long main stage debate about should AI be the future of education, or should we pull back and stick to the basics with classic hardcover books and basic math and make sure we've got those things covered first. And I think that's going to be an interesting debate. But aside from that, we're going to have breakout sessions on from Screen Strong, and they are going to talk to us about the apps and the tools and things that are being used, not just at home, but in schools that we need to be aware of. We are going to talk about all of technology being integrated and the harms and the things that are happening there. And then aside from that, we have signed the pledge with the White House to support AI in education. The First Lady has an initiative right now, AI in Education, and she had 135 businesses and organizations sign on to help support this. And it's, I was in a room at the White House recently with the CEO of IBM and the CEO of Google. And, you know, they're there to create the tools. But I'm so grateful that the White House recognizes that organizations like ours also need to be at the table. And we've committed to some very specific things moving forward in education. And one of those is to make sure it's ethical, it's moral. Our kids' data is being honored and their privacy is, you know, on secured. We've agreed to help develop tools and resources to help parents navigate this. Parents will push back and stop it if they don't understand what's happening, if they're fearful of it, if they think there's kids' data is being stolen and mined. And so, you know, we've got to create tools so they can understand and work along too. This is a whole, like, I love this episode with you and this podcast and talking to you, but I feel like each one of these topics deserves a good hour on its own.
I know. We're kind of scratching at each of the data points, but yeah, you could go hours deep on each one. But I think that's what I really like about what you're doing with the Moms for Liberty, is that it's daunting for one person who's maybe got a 7-year-old and don't like seeing what's being taught in the schools there, and what would that be, second grade? And now, I got to get more involved and engaged. But there's safety in numbers in that, we've got other people across the country who have gone through these very same things.
More Jason in the House next.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Many people use words like harbinger or bellwether to describe this year's New Jersey governor's race. There's a lot of interest because some think it gives insight into how voters feel about the Trump administration and what that means for the 2026 midterm election. Here are a couple of possible signs. While President Trump lost New Jersey in 2024, his performance improved by 5 percentage points compared to 2020. That seems like a positive sign for the Republican, Jack Cittarelli. On the other hand, our benchmark Fox News survey of New Jersey voters finds that sitting Democratic Governor Murphy's favorable rating is net negative by just 1 point, but Trump's rating is underwater by 13. That seems like a positive sign for the Democrat, Mikey Sherrill. Overall, Sherrill is narrowly favored over Cittarelli, plus more than 1 in 10 say they could still change their mind. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with actor Sean Astin of Stranger Things, Rudy, and Lord of the Rings, who is the newly elected president of SAG-AFTRA. I caught up with him at the Emmy Awards, where he shared his thoughts on the past year in television.
As hard as things have been, with as much strife and this time when people aren't working as much, it's really hard for all of us. Every union, every crew, like everybody's, you know, looking to get back to work. There's still incredible bright spots. Television is the hearth. It's what brings people together.
He noted his goals for the actors' union, especially after the last couple of years, which included the industry strikes.
Contract negotiations don't have to be traumatic. They're a regular part of doing business. And both sides are sending signals out that we want it to be a positive, constructive negotiation. So I go in with an open heart, an open hand. plan and just the resolve that, you know, it's my mission, my duty to protect the interests of our members. So everybody wants to be working. So that's our intention.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let me ask you, some schools are moving to a policy where you put your, I can't remember what they call it, there's a specific name for this bag, where you take your phone and you put it in the bag. Like when you check into school and then it like locks it, and then when you're done with school and you want to get your phone back, they give you your phone back. Is that the right policy?
That's a great question, and I'm gonna dance around this one. I would say half our membership thinks that's a great policy. Half our membership thinks that's a horrible policy. And so I think we're just like traditional moms probably across the country. I think phones are harming education in classrooms. I think there's no doubt about that. But also, I want my child to have his phone, so it's a little bit of a predicament, I'd say, for me. And as an organization, I don't see us taking a stand nationally. I know some of our chapters have, and that's their right to do that. We're very much a grassroots organization, and chapters can take stands on things, and whole states of Moms for Liberty can vote in their legislative committee to take a stand and support bills. But the national organization, if everyone's not in agreement, we kind of just stay out of it and say, look, what we do is we bring in experts, like at our summit or on webinars, and we have them teach us and train us, like, tell us why. Show us the stats and the facts of what happens if that phone is not out during class, if that phone is completely banned from the school. Like, where's the line? Show us the facts. Show us the research. And, you know, we can always change our mind and get on board one way or the other. I do think that they should be put away in the classrooms. And so a lot of teachers have baskets. Drop it at the door. Get it on the way out. That way you have it in the hallways. If you need to communicate with parents, you have it for, you know, lunchtime or whatever. That, in my opinion, that's the way to do it. Drop it in the basket for class. And have it. And there's a balance, just like with everything else.
Yeah, because it is an important communication tool. And you may have to communicate with mom or dad or brother or sister and say, hey, you know, where do I meet you? What, you know, we're going to get done. Hey, I was invited to go do this. Are you okay if I go? I mean, I can see both sides of that. I just think in the classroom, it's an actual distraction. But I can also see where, you know, if you're going to teach kids, hey, everybody, get out your phone. Let's all go on this same place and look and talk about this. And yeah, there's certain instances where I think that's probably the right answer. But what other modern day, like, how has education changed for the good and the bad over the last, you know, few decades? Because, again, my world is a whole lot different. My kids laugh at me when we talk about, what was it like in the 1900s? You know? thanks for making me feel really old, you know?
That's crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
They tease me so much that way, you know? Back in the 1900s, Dad, what did, you know, that kind of thing. So how's it changed? What's getting better? What are you most concerned about?
Since the 1900s, like since we were in school?
Yeah, since
1905.
Yes, exactly. Well, not 1905. I'm not that old, but talking I graduated high school in 1985. Okay, so if you weren't listening to The Cars or Flock of Seagulls or Duran Duran and you have no idea what those bands are, then yeah, I was a little probably before your time.
Yeah, no, 92 here, so not too much different from you. And so what has changed? You know, I think we should start with what has stayed the same. Kids are kids. Kids, like you said earlier, kids want to be part of something. They don't want to be left out. And kids are still like that. And so I don't even want to drop a bomb right now because I know we're starting to end this conversation, but gender ideology and the social contagion that has shown us that kids are still the same. That has been the cool and popular thing. And so kids left and right that have no question about their gender are saying their gender is fluid because they want to be part of the cool kids. And it's caused a real problem, but it's the same problem we've always had with kids. Like they just want to be part of something. You've got to give them something that's cool, that's good and virtuous and lovely and true to make them
want to be part of that. And that's the job of adults sometimes, to kind of plant those seeds and make sure that happens. And so what's the difference in education? Well, technology is the clear difference, but it's more different than that. Teachers are becoming radicalized, and not all of them. I have friends, good friends, that are teachers and are in it for the right reason.
Sure.
But what's happening in the colleges and the training schools, they're becoming radicalized. They don't love America. They're teaching the kids not to love America. And that is a threat to the future of our country. We have got to root that out. And this one thing about what's happened with Charlie Kirk, there have been some, it's horrible to even say, but there's been some good things that have come out of that. You know, the spiritual revival is one. The other is it's bringing these teachers out of the woodwork. I mean, if they're celebrating an assassination in our country, they don't need to be in front of students. And so they're showing themselves. And I think it's important, and I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. So Moms for Liberty, I assume you just type in Moms for Liberty in your search engine, we can find you. And how do people contact you and learn and get involved?
MomsForLiberty.org is the web address. We are on all social accounts as Moms Number 4 Liberty. I'm Tina Deskovich. Nobody can spell it, but I'm also on X and Facebook and everywhere else.
Hey, so, you're talking to a chief, so I get it. I had to change mine to, you know, Jason in the House, because I figure you can probably spell that. And if you can't, then there are bigger issues. But Jason in the House, and so you're, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I need to be Tina in the something. I got to figure that out. It's a good idea.
In the classroom or something. I don't know.
But, yeah.
Tina, thank you. Thanks for all you're doing. I love your passion, your excitement, and your caring. And, you know, that's what leadership's all about. And, you know, locking arms with other people who are going through the same thing, who just really, truly want the country and kids to be better, who love their country. You can't ask for more than that. That is the American way. So thanks for fighting the good fight, but also thanks for joining us on the podcast. Do appreciate it.
I am grateful for the opportunity, Jason.
Thank you.
All right. I can't thank Tina. Isn't it that a refreshing story? Like, I love hearing success stories, people who step up, do good things, make things happen, and then it works and it multiplies and it grows. And now it's one of the more important organizations out there. So I hope you go check out the website. We said it several times on where, you know, if you want to get involved, if you want to get engaged, if you want to be part of that solution. So I thank Tina for stepping up to the plate and doing some real good. I'd appreciate it if you could subscribe to the podcast or rate the podcast. That would be really helpful. When you subscribe, it just shows up in your box once a week. Then you know when there's a new episode there. You can listen to it, not listen to it. Love it if you'd listen to it. So I want to remind people, too, they can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, thanks for listening to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty.
Get ready, ready. Thrilling live entertainment featuring Too Short. Friday, October 31st, it's a Fright Fest at Wind River Resort and Casino. Doors open at 10 p.m. Tickets just $35 in advance, 40-day off. Upgrade to a VIP booth for $600, complete with cocktail service, spooky swag, and hosted bottle service.
Hurry, booths are limited.
Don't forget to dress to impress and enter the costume contest for cash prizes. For tickets and complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
It's the ceasefire, quote, it will be taken care of. The president is going after Venezuela with both military and intelligence assets now, White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Since early September, the U.S. military has carried out a series of deadly strikes against alleged drug smuggling boats in the Caribbean. Four of the five vessels originated from Venezuela. And this past week, President Trump made the unusual acknowledgement that he authorized the CIA to carry out covert action in Venezuela. The aggressive actions are seen as a sharp escalation in U.S. efforts to pressure President Nicolas Maduro's government. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Committee to Unleash Prosperity says America's dependence on China for critical minerals is a big problem. Economist Steve Moore says they're right.
The country in the world that has the most critical minerals is the United States. We are so endowed with mineral resources in this country, in the mountains of the Montana, the Dakotas, Colorado, Utah. We have more of these minerals than any other country, but because of stupid decisions that go back to the Clinton administration, we have stopped mining in this country.
He made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. The U.S. has 15 critical minerals that it's 100% importing now, another 10 where we are 80% dependent. This includes a 95% dependence on imports of vital rare earths, mostly from China. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans?
Sweat. No one wants to deal with the IRS, and now you don't have to. The good news is Legal Tax Defense has been successfully negotiating with the IRS for more than 15 years. It doesn't matter how much you owe, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million. You deserve the best in the business on your side, and that is Legal Tax Defense. Even if you're working with someone else and just want a second opinion, there is no cost or obligation to call. They can prevent levies, liens, wage garnishments, even file back tax returns. And the best news about Legal Tax Defense is they won't take your case unless they know they will reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call Legal Tax Defense right now for a free, no-risk consultation. 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
Wall Street is worried about the health of the nation's regional banks after a few of them wrote off bad loans to commercial customers in the last 2 weeks. Zions Bank, Western Alliance Bank, and Jefferies disclosed bad investments, causing their stocks to fall sharply. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon warns that more problems might arise. The KBW Bank Index, which tracks banks, is down 7% for the month. Data from the Federal Reserve shows banks have tapped into overnight facilities for cash, a move not seen since the pandemic. The FAA says it will allow Boeing to produce more 737 MAX airplanes by increasing the limit it imposed after a door plug fell off an Alaska Airlines jet last year. After the terrifying incident, the FAA capped Boeing's production of MAX jets to 38 per month. The FAA says Boeing is now going to be allowed to produce 42. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Australian government has begun a public education campaign with tips on how to wean kids off of social media.
It's all ahead of a world-first national 16-year age limit taking effect.
Australia and EU Safety Commissioner Julie Inman-Grant says information on her agency's website explained the new laws. It also offered checklists and conversation starters about ways to make the transition. Facebook, YouTube, and other platforms could be fined millions starting in December if they don't take steps to prevent young Australians from holding accounts. Australia's age restriction is being watched closely. Keith Peters, Washington.
Today is Sunday, October the 19th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor John Lithgow. He is 80 years old. Fox Newsman Steve Doocy is 69. Boxing Hall of Famer Evander Holyfield turns 63. Filmmaker Jon Favreau, 59. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1450.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
On Monday, Hamas and Israel began implementing the initial stages of the peace plan brokered by President Trump, raising the prospect of a lasting peace possibly in the region for the first time in recent history. In Egypt, world leaders gathered in a show of unity, many praising the deal as a potential blueprint for resolving other global conflicts. President Trump speaking to Middle East leaders, congratulating them on the achievement.
With the historic agreement we've just signed, those prayers of millions have finally been answered. As you know, the hostages have been returned, and further work goes on.
Meanwhile, back at home, the government shutdown extends into week two as Republicans and Democrats remain in a deadlock over Affordable Care Act subsidies set to expire at the end of the year. Lots to discuss with the panel this week. Former Deputy Chief of Staff to George W. Bush, Karl Rove. USA Today, Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page, and Fox News Middle East correspondent Steve Harrigan reporting from Tel Aviv. Steve, first to you, what is the fallout there and the prospect for a long-term shift in the paradigm in the region?
In the short term, it's been a lot of emotion, some amazing reunions between former hostages and their family members, really the pictures that everyone here in Israel was waiting for, and then some details about what people underwent. Some of those hostages pretty much chained up in underground tunnels for 2 years. One man said he lost all sense of space and time. So a real glimpse of joy and of barbarism, too, at the same time. So that's really been the focus on these 20 live hostages who've come out. But like you say, some real potential problems ahead. Will Hamas disarm? Can they rebuild a devastated Gaza? And who's going to govern? Really basic questions, phase two, not resolved yet.
Yeah. And Steve, in the Israeli press, in the coverage of the region, does it feel different that there's Arab buy-in to some of this, or is it kind of amorphous as far as what that's going to look like?
It feels optimistic. There is a sense of momentum. I think people were surprised by how things went. And I think there's hope here. You don't say it often in this part of the world, but that's what people are feeling.
Yeah. Susan, there is optimism from the president as he talks about this. I think, a little bit more cautiousness from the region. I had a spokesperson on from Qatar speaking for the prime minister saying there's just a lot of things we have to work out.
Well, we know from previous positive, optimistic things happening in the Middle East how hard it is to keep it going. But I do think that some of the things that make President Trump so controversial here at home made it possible for him to reach the deal that was reached in the short term and raises the possibility, at least, of some momentum that keeps it going. You know, he stuck with Netanyahu when much of the world had parted ways with the prime minister because of his execution of the war in Gaza. That gave authority to push Netanyahu to accept the deal at the end when there are parts of it that he wasn't enthusiastic about it. And, you know, in a way, Trump's willingness to order military action against those Venezuelan boats that he says are linked to drug cartels. I think that told Hamas that when Trump threatened obliteration if they didn't go along with this, he meant it. And it, I think that had to be a real encouragement to Hamas to sign on as well. So it's always safer to bet on the pessimistic side of events in the Middle East. But I think that President Trump actually deserves quite a bit of credit already. And there is some hope that there is a shift in what has kind of stalled reconciliation and peace in the Middle East for so long.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Venezuela boats, and I think it's of the same mindset of peace through strength after the Iran upright hammer with the B-2 bomber taking out the nuclear facility inside Iran. Steve, I wonder how you see that, if those moves with Iran and taking that chess piece kind of at least on the back part of the board, not supporting Hamas as openly, change the dynamic in the region.
I think it's interesting to link things you wouldn't ordinarily link, like Venezuela and the situation here, and also to see unpredictability, which is often a negative, as a real strength here in his negotiating. And also just to see the president's political skill, the naked skill, really, in the Knesset, working that room in a foreign country to get standing ovation one after the other. When he said Israel is a little dot in the Middle East, and yet somehow you achieve so much, you could see he had their number. They stood and they roared for a foreign leader who knew how to work the room.
Well, speaking of working the room, neither Democrats nor Republicans are working in the room when it comes to the government shutdown, Carl. It continues apace. It seems like it's a different monster this time in that Republicans are on the side of a clean CR, a continuing resolution funding the government at the same levels, and Democrats don't want to change about these health care subsidies before the end of the year. How do you see this playing out politically? And, you know, we're starting to get to the point where checks are going to be missed.
This is on track to be, it already is, one of the three biggest shutdowns we've ever seen, and it's likely to be in there for, you know, number one or number two by the time we're finished. Both sides seem stuck. There is a deal to be made about the continuation of these subsidies, but they're going to have to be give and take on both sides. The Republicans are going to want to put limits on the income of the people who can receive them. The Democrats are going to want a continuation of the lower income subsidies. There's a deal to be made here, but it ain't going to happen quickly.
Susan, just to be clear, these subsidies are needed basically because Obamacare, as it was set up, the Affordable Care Act, created these pools that they envisioned that the market would drive down the prices. And they just didn't see it. They didn't see those prices driving down. So then a Democratic administration with a Democratic Congress set up these subsidies to keep those prices lower. They're set to expire at the end of the year. Fair discussion of that?
Oh, you bet. Hey, good luck taking away a benefit that people have gotten used to.
Exactly.
You know, Karl Rove was around when the White House pushed through the Medicare Part D drug benefit. What if that had turned out to be more expensive than the government had expected and there were an effort to... I realize that those weren't temporary measures, but it's a very hard thing to take away a benefit. And what's more... both sides seems to be having a wonderful time with this shutdown. I think that Chuck Schumer thinks it's working for Democrats in general and working for him in particular. And I think President Trump thinks this is a pretty good talking point for him. So I think something has to happen for there to even be any serious talks about what to do to open the government again.
We will see. Got some time. Thanks, panel. And now for a bit of history. On October 14th, 1947, U.S. Air Force pilot Chuck Yeager became the first man to break the sound barrier, reaching Mach 1.05 in an experimental aircraft during a test flight over the Mojave Desert. 2 days before the test, Yeager suffered two broken ribs in a horse riding accident, but concerned about being removed from the mission, he kept that information secret, getting a doctor to tape his ribs and using a sawed-off broom handle as a lever to help close the aircraft's hatch. The plane used in the original flight, dubbed X-1 Glamorous Glennis, after Yeager's wife, is still on display at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C.
More of the Fred Fair Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife, and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is House Call for Health. A major new global study reveals cardiac events don't strike without warning. It finds people who suffered a heart attack, stroke, or heart failure had at least one major heart risk factor years beforehand. Researchers analyzing the health records of more than 9 million people for a decade, they found more than 99% of patients had one or more risk factors, like high blood pressure and cholesterol, as well as blood sugar levels and tobacco use. The study also notes more than 93% of patients had two or more risk factors. That study was led by Northwestern Medicine and Yonsei University in South Korea. The author, Northwestern University cardiology professor Dr. Philip Greenland, says the goal now is to work harder on finding ways to control these modifiable risk factors rather than to get off track in pursuing other factors that are not easily treatable and not causal. The findings appear in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Brave teenagers from Utah who kicked down a door to save some dogs from a burning house makes today's Dean's List. The fast-moving fire destroyed several homes on the block with smoke everywhere, but several friends worked together to try and save people and their pets from the flames. One of the teenagers say they didn't hesitate, jumping over the fence to see if they could help. There was a vehicle in one driveway, but no one coming out, so they rushed over and started banging on the door. Looking through the window, they saw a dog inside and decided to go in and rescue him. They were able to force the door open since it was locked, and security footage shows two dogs being saved. The owners of the pets were not home, but they were so grateful to the teens for saving their beloved dogs. The brave teenagers, meanwhile, say seeing how grateful everyone was made their risky decision so worthwhile. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
I spoke to Hamas, and if they don't disarm, we will disarm them. And it'll happen quickly and perhaps violently.
With that, let's bring in Fox News senior strategic analyst, retired General Jack Keane. General, thanks for being here. You know, the president went to Truth Social. He said the job is not done. All 20 hostages are back and feeling as good as can be expected. A big burden has been lifted, but the job is not done. The dead have not been returned as promised. Phase two begins right now. President DJT, they know. This is a heavy lift, the second part.
Yeah, I mean, it really is challenging. Certainly getting Hamas to release all the hostages as to a partial release, that was a major deal in itself. But the second phase is considerably more challenging for a couple of reasons. The primary one is Hamas, to make the deal, said that, yes, they would disarm, yes, they would give up governance. But also, at the press conference in the White House, when the deal was announced, the president made a statement that if Hamas reneged on disarming, then he would permit the IDF, ordered by Prime Minister Netanyahu, to go back in and finish it. I think the International Stabilization Force would try to do that first. But for our audience to understand, peace enforcement forces only work when both sides are cooperating. There's been a UN peace enforcement force in Lebanon for two decades, and Hezbollah's moved south every single year to do something against Israel, and they've never stopped them. So likely the card that would have to be played would be the IDF and Netanyahu going back in there to do that, and that's what really the president's talking about here.
All right, let's turn to another topic. AP, Russian aerial attack hits Ukrainian hospital. This is just days before President Zelensky arrives here in the White House, launching. The Russians did a powerful glide bombs and drones against Ukraine's second largest city in overnight attacks, hitting a hospital, wounding seven people. We've seen these attacks and then the increase. President Trump talked about possibly using Tomahawk missiles on Monday. Take a listen.
They need Patriots very badly. They'd like to have Tomahawks. That's a step up. They'd like to have Tomahawks. We talked about that. I might have to speak to Russia, to be honest with you, about Tomahawks. Do they want to have Tomahawks going in their direction? I don't think so.
Sending Tomahawks to the Ukrainians, which they're requesting to strike deeper into Russia.
Well, let's just talk about that for a second. Putin is saying that's an escalation. That's another false statement. This guy has made one false statement after another. In 22, Putin began to fire hypersonic ballistic missiles against Ukraine, largely civilian targets. He's been firing air-launched and sea-launched cruise missiles against civilian targets and energy infrastructure for the last two-plus years, in addition to those 500 to 600 drones a night that you're seeing there. He's the guy that escalated. All of his targets are largely civilian targets. If the Ukrainians get the Tomahawk missiles, what are they going to use them for? Their number one target will be the Albaluga Manufacturing Center for Shahed missiles built by Ukraine. 20,000 North Koreans are there at that manufacturing center. It's out of the range of everything they have right now. That'll be target one, but they'll all be military targets. Ukraine is not going to target civilian targets. And what Putin is trying to do with President Trump is the same thing he successfully did with Biden. Threaten escalation if you do X. And there'll be something to come against you as a result of it. And he won that bluff with Biden time and time again. I don't think he'll win it with President Trump.
You know, Zelensky expressed hope in the wake of what he saw in Gaza that this could lead to something else. Geopolitically, with a win like we saw in the Middle East for President Trump, does that affect Russia? Does that affect China and how they look at things?
Oh, absolutely. Just as weakness affects them, the fact that they become so aggressive during the previous administration is because they believe the American leadership was weak and they could take advantage of it. And the facts spoke to that as well. The attack that President Trump ordered on the nuclear sites, the decisive blow, got their attention.
And in Iran.
Yeah, in Iran. And what is happening right here now with the somewhat defeat of Iran and the proxies and moving forward to peace and stability in the region, all engineered by who? American leadership on a world stage setting the whole standard for what's to be accomplished. This is what they're trying to depose. They want to have that influence, and here we have a president doing it. You bet you they're paying attention.
I want to talk about the Pentagon and covering the Pentagon. There are these new stipulations, new rules that have been put out, and we and the media, along with all the networks and also newspapers, had a media statement to respond, and here it is. Today we join virtually every other news organization in declining to agree to the Pentagon's new requirements, which would restrict journalists' abilities to keep the nation and the world informed of important national security issues. The policy is without precedent and threatens core journalistic protections. We will continue to cover the U.S. military, as each of our organizations has done for many decades, upholding the principles of a free and independent press. That's ABC News, CBS News, CNN, Fox News Media, and NBC News signing that. Here is the Secretary of War at the cabinet meeting in his interpretation of what all this means.
You have to wear a badge that identifies that you're press, or you can't just roam anywhere you want. It used to be, Mr. President, the press could go anywhere, pretty much anywhere in the Pentagon, the most classified area in the world.
Kind of simplified it there than what's on the paper. I covered the Pentagon for 6.5 years. I covered the White House for 4 years. I covered the Pentagon when you were there.
Yeah, I remember.
We knew not to, you don't walk into the tank, and the classified areas are off limits. We obviously were always trying to get the story from different elements, and there was a freedom, but everybody had badges with them. At the White House, I never walked into the Oval Office or the Situation Room. These are stipulations that essentially are changing the dynamic about how to get information and how they disseminate information.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like the whole story is being told to our viewers here. What they're really doing, they want to spoon feed information to the journalists, and that will be their story. That's not journalism. Journalism is going out and finding the story and getting all the facts to support it. And no one's going to walk in and bang on a door of a four-star general or senior civilian policy leader in the Pentagon. I never had that, but I did have journalists chasing a story of something that was going on in the Army, and those things were legitimate. And if anything, what would frustrate us in times is we didn't beat you to it. And something bad is happening, and we're getting our act together to do it, and sometimes, you know, well, let's wait a couple of days before we talk about that, and you guys are on it. And that's journalism.
And we know the stipulations about classified information, and if there are leaks or there are situations, there are investigations many times that lead to that. But in the day-to-day, for military families, for military, us being in the Pentagon is usually an asset.
Yeah, I have never, ever seen it. I mean, when I was a four-star general, I insisted that all our new brigadier generals get a class a few days on what the role of the media is in an American democracy. These are all new generals. And then I wanted them to practice and get interviews and how to deal with the realities of this, because they have all these incredible warfighting skill sets, but dealing with the media isn't one of them. And so the education of them was very important to me. So they would welcome, and don't see the media as something to be intimidated by. See the media as your conduit to the American people. And that's how I always saw it and believed in supporting it. There were times when stories were done that make me flinch a little bit. Yeah. But that's usually because we had done something that wasn't as good as we should have done it.
Well, we're all standing in solidarity, almost all of us, and we hope that changes. We'll see where this policy goes. General, as always, thank you.
Yeah, great talking to you, Brett.
Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974. Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take
the quiz. Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House Podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender! America will get better! Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
News as it happens then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 10-year-old from Missouri who found a wedding ring in a parking lot and what he did next makes today's Dean's List. Cal Blank was visiting a Costco with his family and spotted something shiny on the asphalt. He picked it up and realized it was a ring, so he put it into his pocket. As it turns out, it belonged to a woman named May who lost it while she was returning a shopping cart. The loss was devastating, as it had been on her finger for nearly 50 years. May and her husband looked everywhere but couldn't find it. Meanwhile, Cal's dad called Costco and confirmed that someone had reported a missing ring. Cal knew he wanted to do something special before returning it, so he polished the ring and put it in a small box his mom had saved from a trip to Ireland. He also wrote in a note that said, "I kind of wanted to keep this since it was pretty and shiny. I hope you relax now that you have your ring back." Both families arranged to meet in person, and May hugged Cal, telling him how special he was. Janice Dean, Fox News.
And now it's time for a Brett Baer Classic. A look back on the best moments from Brett Baer's All-Star Panel to Common Ground and the candidates. You can listen to more of the Brett Baer Podcast on FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
We welcome in former Federal Reserve Board Governor Kevin Warsh. He has been mentioned as a possible candidate to replace the current Fed chairman. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Hey, Brett, great to be back on the show.
Before we get to the International Bankers meeting here in D.C., what do you think about the market drop over the couple days? Many people are saying it's because of nervousness about regional banks and loans. Should we be more broadly concerned about what we're seeing?
So the world's moving faster. It's a lot for the markets to interpret. Markets have been on a heck of a run for a long time. Some of those markets just need a little time to digest news. There are huge amounts of negotiations going on around the world that have a huge effect on the U.S. economy. The Chinese negotiations, the finalizing the trade deals with Korea and Japan before the president goes to Asia. A lot of big news on the government shutdown. Markets need to take some time, but the bank stocks generally have been on a good run. Smaller stocks have been on a good run. Inside the market, that's telling you that the economy is actually accelerating. That's my view. It doesn't happen to be the view of the IMF, the World Bank, or the Federal Reserve.
Right. So more generally, how do you see the world as we sit here specifically as it relates to what central bankers and economic policy makers are thinking? Are they concerned about this government shutdown?
Yeah, they are. The IMF World Bank meetings, they came out with a set of forecasts. If you wanted to characterize their forecast, they sounded a lot like the Fed forecasts that sound very stagflationary. I think the global economy and the U.S. economy, they think, is weakening. They think prices and inflation are moving up. I think they've got that mostly wrong. I think the U.S. economy is going to be stronger in 25 than 24, stronger again in 26. And I think, broadly speaking, the president's economic policies, they take a little time to work their way through the system, but his tax policies, deregulatory policies, this massive amount of capital expenditures is very good for growth. So my best guess is that the U.S. economy will chronically outperform these forecasts relative to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and that's basically the message from Secretary Bessent, Treasury Secretary, based on the Treasury Department data. He tweeted out, "Today's monthly Treasury statement reflects what I've been saying. Strong private sector-led growth alongside constrained federal spending means the deficit to GDP will take care of itself." He goes on to the specifics. He says that basically the largest surplus any September on record, 174% higher than last year. You know, as you get ready for the Fed to continue to meet, you have the look at the Fed Reserve rate decisions, and we put up all of the decisions, and obviously this last one was a quarter point. How many rate cuts do you think the Fed will do before the end of the year, or how much should they do?
So I think they've got two more rate cuts in them, but they basically told us that. That doesn't require a lot of crystal ball. They believe in telling the world not just what they're doing today, but what they're going to do forever, no matter what the facts are. So I think they pretty much locked themselves in. But the question isn't what are they going to do. The real question is, what are the results in the economy? And I think the Powell Fed's big problem is their track record. Their track record shows that they have been comfortable with higher prices that have been quite bad for our hardworking Americans the last 5 or 6 years. So they might say they're going to bring inflation down, but their forecasts say that inflation is going to be closer to 3% than 2% the next couple of years. And what do households and businesses think? Households and businesses are starting to think that they want higher prices. The reality, Brett, is the economy can be stronger than they're letting on. Prices can be lower, but it's going to require regime change at the Fed, just like we had regime change at the Treasury Department.
And last thing, very quickly, you've been a Fed governor. This is not, there's a lot of mystique when it comes to the Federal Reserve. It's not just the Fed chairman. You have other people. You got to get them, you got to sway them. You've got to get the votes. There's like an institutional knowledge there.
Yeah, there sure is. Listen, I feel quite blessed that I was there for 5.5 and 6 years. I know what's working and what's not. In the event that I end up going back, which is not up to me, it's up to the president, it's time to hit the ground running and do it. The faster we can change policies and frameworks at the Fed means lower prices a year from now and a stronger economy.
And they haven't told you anything yet. Like, you're still on the list. They haven't said, get ready.
I know preciously little that you haven't reported.
Okay. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brett. Great to be with you.
An effort to help first-time home buyers around the country. Joining us, two senators, Arizona Democratic Senator Ruben Gallego and Indiana Republican Senator Todd Young, co-sponsors of this bill. Senators, thanks for being here. The Uplifting First-Time Home Buyers Act, why is this important? Senator Gallego?
Well, in Arizona, the average house, first-time house is about $450,000 to $500,000. The average age of a homeowner now in this country is around 38. So young people can't buy homes largely because they just don't have any ability to actually put that first down payment. A lot of them will have access to IRAs, but they can't access that money for the down payment without having a huge freaking penalty. So what we're trying to do is say, listen, you can tap that money, take $50,000 out without any penalty, and use that towards a down payment. And hopefully that starts, you know, circulating so these men and women can buy their first home.
You see our first-time home buyers decreased, so, I mean, it's going down.
Yeah. Yes.
I hear about this every time I drive around the state. We hold a lot of roundtables on kitchen table issues, and consistently hear that the federal policies aren't crafted to address this problem. So this has been since 1997 that we've adjusted the IRA withdrawal penalty. So it's at 10%, and it applies to $10,000 or more that you take out of your IRA. That hasn't been adjusted for inflation. In the meantime, the cost of a house, the median cost was $115,000. 30 years of later, it's about five times that. Right. So it's time we adjust the amount you can take out without
penalty. Yeah, the U.S. housing market right now, 6.27% on a 30-year fix,
yeah.
$425,000 is the median list price.
Right. And this is really starting to affect America. We have young adults that aren't getting married, young adults that are really feeling, you know, depressed because they're literally, you know, living either with roommates, with family. And, you know, I think when Todd and I grew up, it was pretty well expected. If you had a decent job, you could buy a home and start your family. That's not happening in America anymore. And this is why we're so, you know, urgently trying to get this done.
Yeah. You guys have worked together before. You both co-sponsored the HALT Fentanyl Act. You've done other things together.
Yeah.
Is this happening up there despite the big pull on the partisan side?
You know, there are quiet efforts like this. I think Ruben and I, both being U.S. Marines, have it's easy for us to sort of connect on different issues. But there's this. I'm working with Senator Mark Kelly on the shipbuilding initiative that I know we've talked about, Brett, and I know Ruben could cite other issues.
I've worked with Senator McCormick on other housing issues. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, Todd and I, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about bills in the gym, right? That's where we actually have a lot of conversations. You could tell it actually works. He works out. I'm getting there. But that's where we have actually kicked around a lot of legislation and just really have frank conversations. And I think, you know, you see a lot of, you know, conflict. What you don't see are these quiet conversations and friendships that really do exist.
There is a push and pull here happening now with the government shutdown.
The American people are seeing that we are on their side doing everything we can to get the Republicans to negotiate and address this crisis.
The progress we made on appropriations and the conversations that were underway on the COVID-era Obamacare subsidies and all those issues, all that sits at a standstill. until Democrats reopen the government.
This seems like it's going on forever. Do you all foresee a way to get to a conclusion?
No, I think what's likely to happen here, to be fair to my colleague, and since we're talking about this other issue, the lines of demarcation are drawn. We know what Republicans want. We want to open the government without making any policy changes. The Democrats are pushing for some policy changes. I think what is likely to happen is we'll see what happens with the polls, see who the American people are more persuaded by, and then we're likely to see some movement from one side or the other after a number of weeks. In the meantime, I think it's really important we continue to do the people's work. So that's why we're here. We're focused on other issues. We're focused on finding common ground. And I think this is one issue that is really going to resonate with the American people, and we'll get it across the line in coming months.
So maybe the House should be the same way.
I think it should.
I should.
I know you made that argument.
Yeah.
Well, what about on your side? Is there give? Is there a give?
Yeah, look, we've had, you know, unofficial conversations with our Senate colleagues, our friends, and we understand that in this world, we're not going to get everything we want. You know, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and the premiums of how they exist are not going to be exactly what we get, what we've had in the past, right? It's divided government. We have to negotiate. And I think there's ways for us to do that that could get these guys to come along and join us. They don't want to increase premiums. They represent the same Americans that we do. But there is room to grow together, and we all want to land this plane, both for our constituents, but, you know, the country as a whole.
We do need to talk about that, but I would... Since we're veering over that line, we'll wait until after the government's open to negotiate on that.
So there's the split.
There we are. We'll see you in the parking lot.
Yeah. Right. Well, we held common ground for a while. Senators, yes. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Everybody, you can see that.
You can see all the Common Ground segments on my podcast, Common Ground. Find that in All-Star Panel Podcast under the Brett Baer Podcast at FoxNewsPodcast.com, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. You can also see this on the Fox News YouTube page.
Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at FoxTrueCrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Sometimes people think compromise means squishy centrist. It doesn't. The whole idea of a democratic society is that there must be a consensus. And it's a consensus that should be based on rational dialogue. We must not become a hostile, factious, divisive society. We must be a society that has a broad consensus on certain very fundamental values.
Justice Anthony Kennedy, back in 2005. Joining us is the former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. He has written a new book titled Life, Law, and Liberty. Justice Kennedy, thank you so much for being here. I read the book. It was a great read. Congratulations.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here, and especially coming from you, who've written some wonderful books about our history and our great leaders, including the book about Washington.
Well, thank you. What did you take away from this process, and what you wanted to explore by writing this?
My beginning point was just to write down a memoir for my children and grandchildren who did not know about a small town in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s when I grew up. And it seemed to me, as the writing progressed, that it's very important in this day and age to talk about the marvelous potential of freedom of speech and to make sure that it is not undercut by a hostile, fractious discourse.
Justice Kennedy, you retired from the Supreme Court in July of 2018, and obviously a lot has transpired since then. You were the last Supreme Court nominee to be confirmed unanimously, 97-0 back in 1987. I mean, that was a different time, a different era.
I think that the public and the legislature has every right to contribute to that debate. The Constitution's made for that kind of debate.
In your book, you offer some pretty strong concerns over where our current political discourse has taken us. You're worried about it.
My concern is that partisanship plays too much of a role in the selection and nomination process for judges. Historically, presidents have appointed members of their own party to the bench. But there should be more emphasis on the other elements of and requisites for a good judge.
You've said in recent days that you think maybe the modern Supreme Court now has become too personal, too confrontational in some of the ways they've written. What do you mean by that?
Well, you study the court by studying the opinions. And the opinions are a little bit more personal, a little bit more confrontational than, in my view, they ought to be. We're there to disagree. We're sworn to disagree. We love to disagree. That's what being lawyers and judges and law professors, that's what it's all about. But we have to disagree in basically a friendly way.
You were often described by the media as kind of the man in the middle, the swing justice. You write about this in your book, page 217. While I did not pay much attention to the media reports about our work, it would be disingenuous to deny being called the swing justice by the press. That term always bothered me. The cases swung, not me. So it got to you a little bit.
Well, the swing justice has a visual metaphor. You can almost see someone in your mind swinging from left to right, from right to left. In my view, my ideas were consistent, and it was the cases that were different.
I know you've still engaged with members of the court privately, and you obviously had two who served as your law clerks together, Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh, back in 1993. What advice would you give them, or do you give them, I should say, about, you know, reaching consensus, collegiality, that sort of thing, from your perspective now looking backwards?
It seemed to me both Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh have the capacity and the personality and the temperament and the learning to make sure that the court is perceived by the public and in reality is a collegial place in which we have great respect for each other.
I did an interview with Justice Barrett recently, and I asked her, they say you're helping to certify this move towards authoritarianism. How do you respond to that?
We're not deciding cases just for today. And we're not deciding cases based on the president, as in the current occupant of the office. We're deciding cases about the presidency.
That's the criticism that this court is somehow empowering President Trump to trample on democracy. You know, how do you look at it right now?
Each branch of the government has a duty to obey the Constitution. There are many things that happen that cannot be brought to the courts. And even in those cases, in every instance, every day, every member of the executive branch, every member of the legislature branch has to remember to respect and understand the meaning of freedom and the meaning of liberty in the Constitution.
What's the most consequential opinion that you wrote that you look back at and say, this was it?
Well, perhaps the flag burning case was one. We have to remember that the freedom of speech is not just for speech that we like. And it seemed to me that the flag case, difficult as it was for those of us who said that the burning was permissible, was a great teaching lesson. And it was interesting, Brett, that, as I recall, 80 senators got to the floor of the Senate to denounce the court and denounce the opinion. And over time, that decision was accepted by more and more people. And that's part of what the court does. We give reasons hoping that over time we could be respected by a majority of the American people.
Last thing, in this memoir, you point out that in this life and where you are now, you give some thought about your legacy. How do you want to be remembered?
Because of my respect for family and my neighbors and for the American people in general, my purpose was to show that the law is something that all of us can love, because the law opens new avenues for us to see a world beyond.
Justice Kennedy, thank you so much. The book again, Life, Law, and Liberty. Thank you again.
Thank you so very much. It's an honor to be on your program, and congratulations on your own wonderful writings.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.